translation. Shukadev Goswami said, the demon Keshi sent by Kamsa appeared in Vraj as a great horse. Running with the speed of mind, he tore up the earth with his hooves. The hairs of his mane scattered the clouds and the demigods' airplanes throughout the sky, and he terrified everyone present with his loud neighing. Responsively, Shukadev Goswami said, the demon Keshi, sent by Kamsa, appeared in Vraj as a great horse. Running with the speed of mind, he tore up the earth with his hooves. The hairs of his mane scattered the clouds and the demigods' airplanes throughout the sky. And he terrified everyone present with his loud neighing. Om Gyanasimiran Dasyaganandjanan Shalakaya Chakshamilitam Jainatas Mashigurveena Mahamukum Karati Vachalam Pangum Langaiti Grim Yakripa Traham Vande Shigaram Dinatanirum Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Padastaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sanamani Namaste Sarasvati Devi Guru Vandipachana Rani Visishan Yuvadapasajadi Shitani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasari Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. As I'm sure you are very much aware, these demons that this personality, Kamsa, was sending in order to destroy Lord Krishna, represent the unwanted, unnecessary things that we have in our heart. An artery is basically something that destroys and halts and destroys one's spiritual progress. There have to be considered problems on the path that have to be removed. And this demon, Keshi, obviously by the descriptions here, wasn't exactly small, if you see what I mean. He was quite massive, and with his tail he was smashing aeroplanes out the sky and tearing the earth to pieces with his feet. And so in other words, the we could say maybe the anatta is not also so small. This particular anatta that this demon represents is the egotistical self-aggrandizement of thinking oneself to be a very great devotee and a very great and elevated spiritual master. It's strange, isn't it? Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us all to become spiritual masters. So in one sense, if you don't, it's like borderline an offense, isn't it? The Lord wants us to be spiritual teachers and so forth. That's one of his instructions. But obviously, the consciousness has to be cleansed. This is interesting, how does one cleanse the consciousness? There's no kind of detergent or rub that you can kind of get for this. It's very interesting, actually, in the Western Hemisphere, the majority, in fact, most of the people, they link the consciousness or relate the consciousness or compare the consciousness with the mind, isn't it? sometimes the word mind, brain, consciousness, all these words are in, you know, general language usually used interchangeably, isn't it? Because we think in the West, or we've come to understand, or maybe be told, that the consciousness of the living entity is actually situated in the mind, in the head, in the brain. But of course, according to the teachings of the spiritual path, the actual consciousness is not situated in the head. It is situated in the heart. Because that's where we reside. The seat of consciousness is not in the head. It's actually in the heart. So when we talk about cleaning the consciousness, we can also talk about cleaning the heart. It's not the heart, the mind and the consciousness. It's actually the heart and the consciousness. In fact, this consciousness, this mind, this Lord describes this substance as being the ether, ethereal type substance. It's actually spread all over the body. It's not just stuck in the head. So cleaning the heart, cleaning the mind, cleaning the heart. Is done by naturally by hearing and chanting. But also we understand that we have to develop consciousness, isn't it? We have to develop Krishna consciousness. The point is, how do you develop consciousness? Right? How do you develop this consciousness? Because this consciousness is completely malleable, isn't it? It's affected by everything we come into contact, especially when we first make our appearance in this mortal world. Atmospheres are very powerful. Our consciousness is completely malleable. But the goal of human life is, of course, to develop this consciousness into the supreme level of consciousness, or our original spiritual consciousness, which we, of course, call Krishna consciousness. So how is this consciousness developed? I mean, we can maybe develop a project, we can maybe develop a building, we may develop a team, we can develop so many things. But how do you develop consciousness? It's not so easy, because it's ethereal, isn't it? And the idea is that the consciousness is actually developed by thinking. Consciousness is developed by thought, isn't it? What is the highest principle? To always what? To think of Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example of the, I think it's the tortoise or the turtle or something. Lays its eggs in the seashore and just under the ocean's border. And then goes off, and although she's not physically there, she's always meditating on the eggs. She's always thinking. And in that way, you know, she they hatch. So this narration here, by constantly hearing, our spiritual life is actually developed. Our Krishna consciousness is developed actually by a steady program of the Shravanam Kirtanam in association with devotees. And these narrations in particular, Krishna being very kind, these demons, as we know, represent all types of different thoughts and unwanted things that are lodged in our heart and consciousness that are going to block our spiritual progress. Here we have the Kesha demon, the anatta of thinking oneself to be a great devotee and a great spiritual master. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, when one time some devotees, there was some discussion or the other, and somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, but what about the big devotees? Older, senior, big devotees. Prabhupada said, big devotees? Prabhupada said, Narad Muni. He's a big devotee. So next time we think we're big, we can just compare ourselves to Narad Muni. So the point is that everyone in this world has some degree of self-interest, isn't it? The conditioned living entity in particular is always looking for some form of recognition. Always looking to be recognized or glorified in some way, form or another. We have to remember actually that the material nature and the spiritual atmosphere are really very different. What is, in a broad basic way of saying, what is the highest there is considered the lowest here. And what is considered the lowest there is considered the highest there. And what does everybody want to do here? Everybody wants to be the master, isn't it? Everybody wants to be the boss, the number one. That's why we came here, isn't it? But we have to understand the devotee himself, or as devotees, we should clearly understand that actually the Supreme Self is actually Lord Krishna. So if we're actually genuinely self-interested, then we should offer everything, all that, whatever it is. Bhaktivinoda Thakur offers everything, his mind, his family, his everything, to the service of the self. Under illusion, with serving the material body, we think we're serving the actual self, isn't it? But actually, we're not. The real self is Krishna. So therefore, the devotee who has developed Krishna prema, affection for Krishna, is not really necessarily interested in marching around aggrandizing himself and glorifying himself and wanting everyone to think he's so great, because he's not interested. Really, he's not interested. Real self-interest means Lord Krishna. Means offering everything to Krishna. Otherwise, we engage in more misdemeanors, isn't it? Like trying to enjoy, isn't it? One of the anartas is trying to enjoy the fruits of bhakti, isn't it? That, you know, the mystic yogis, they can produce all sorts of stuff, isn't it? But when we engage in devotional service, Krishna also gives us things, isn't it? Like beautiful manor houses and opportunities for things. Traveling and nice association. So many nice things happen to you when you become a devotee. But if we simply try to enjoy all these things on the basis of they're meant to gratify the false self, then this is where all the problems begin. Not remembering that Krishna is the Supreme Self. And all these narrations are actually meant to destroy all these symptoms of illusion that are manifesting in our consciousness. And we can understand by this narration, sometimes these unwanted things, they're very, very powerful. It's like, here we see the narration of this demon. He's, you can imagine a horse so terrible and huge that it's riding through the sky and it's smashing airplanes out and it's ripping the earth to pieces. And everyone was frightened. So Prabhupada said, especially about the Westerners, the devotees, any problem is they're not afraid. They're not afraid of Maya. Everyone here apart from Krishna was really afraid. Actually. But it seems to Krishna this wasn't a problem. In fact, the narration of the Kesha demon is actually quite short. In fact, Krishna, I suppose, like all the other demons, killed him very, very easily. When all the villagers, being terrified, took shelter in the village and the hideouts, this big demon challenged Krishna to fight. And Krishna, he very easily grabbed this demon by the legs and started swinging him around very fast, threw him, according to the narrations, 100 bow lengths. I think that's about 100 yards, isn't it? Smashing him into the floor. And there he remained unconscious. It's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes we think we've defeated the demons. Sometimes we think we've defeated the Anattas. But actually, you may have given them a bit of a slap, but they're still there, but they're just a bit unconscious. And this demon rose again. And the narration says he was extremely forceful. Very forceful. Very powerful and very angry. This is one of the Anattas, isn't it? Not easy to get rid of. So I'll speak for myself at least. Of course, if the Anattas was easy to get rid of, we'd probably be somewhere else. Maybe. But this is interesting to know, isn't it? After the fave in Krishna, after the first smash, still lay dormant. Still lay dormant. Anyone could have approached and he could have awoke at any time, actually. And when he came back again, he came with even more force. Well, does this tell us that the Anattas, they'll generally kind of give up? Unless, of course, Krishna destroys them. And that's the point, actually, that Krishna will naturally give us the strength, actually, to get rid of all these unwanted. It's actually Krishna who's doing it. But what does he say in the Bhagavad Gita? As they surrender unto me, what does he do? He rewards us accordingly. Our rewards are not, you know, masses of material opulence. Our rewards is masses of spiritual opulences. This should be our objective. Otherwise, how do we distinguish the devotees ourselves from the materialists, right? As Prabhupada, you know, said that the goal of the materialist is to be happy. The goal of the devotee is to be happy. Everyone's goal is to be happy. But they're just going the wrong direction. The rope and the snake, isn't it? They're misidentifying what is real life from something that is completely illusionary. So the Lord is there. He's in the kingdom of Vrindavan, destroying all the demons. He's also in the kingdom of the heart, isn't he? He's there, super soul. But it's also in the kingdom of the heart, as we mentioned, also means the kingdom of the consciousness. It's the heart and the consciousness which are, isn't it? If we want to express an innermost emotion, which part of the body do we refer to? Not the head, is it? I love you with all my brain. No one ever says that, do they? Please be my sweet brain or something. My brain was broken. It's always the heart, isn't it? Because that's where we are, that's where the innermost stuff's going on. And Krishna is there in the kingdom of the heart, just like he's in the kingdom of Vrindavan, if we'll give him an opportunity. But you know, typically we're not like the residents of, well, I'll speak for myself. We're false ego, we'll try and kill the demon. We won't run for shelter because we're not afraid of Maya. We won't run for shelter and let Krishna do his job. We always have to interfere and think that we're capable of destroying everything and everyone. But the point is, by surrendering, we will allow Krishna to actually annihilate all these unwanted things in the heart and in the consciousness. And the thing is, these Anattas, the idea is that they're always... what she would say, they're always basically just disturbing the peace, actually. That's their business, isn't it? You see the demons in Vrindavan, they didn't exactly, you know, they wasn't exactly famous for their sort of, you know, agricultural contributions. You know, they were always causing trouble. And that's the point, is there's always a certain group of people in this world, isn't it, who always want to give trouble to others, regardless, isn't it? There's always a certain group. Because I'm one of them. And, yes, always a certain. And that's the thing, these demons are always causing trouble in the heart and mind. These anatas. And they'll completely destroy, actually, all the peace. And they're quick to act, isn't it? For example, this demon here, the Lord's described it, he travels at the speed of the mind. I mean, that's fast. They don't hang around, right? They're not going to wait for you to get your stuff together. Straight in there, slightest opportunity. And when these big demons do approach our heart and mind, we should be afraid. Like the residents of Raj, we should take shelter of Krishna. And allow Krishna to do to destroy all these horrible and unwanted things. Of course, not understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Self, actually when we do come to the material atmosphere, the idea is that we, or our pure love, our pure original love in our original state of clean, pure Krishna consciousness just turns into lust in the material world. And those activities of service to God simply in the material world turn into activities of sense gratification. And if the anatas have their way, if the demons have their way, then that's the way it will remain. And if that's the way that remains, and then unfortunately, here we will remain. It's said also in the narration, when Lord Krishna did kill him, like he mentions, it's his left arm, he punches him straight through the mouth. Sticks his arm. Now, normally, as is mentioned, Krishna's body is very soft, like a lotus. But the demons felt his arm like a thunderbolt. And then it became red hot and unbearably painful. And then the words used, Srila Prabhupada mentions extreme agony. When this demon died, he, in the process, felt extreme agony. No. Zero tolerance policy on the anatas. No mercy on the anatas. And then when Krishna smashed him again, said as he left his body, the demon passed through the neurine. This is in, well, no, maybe not so interesting in essence, but it's also known actually when people die, when people leave their bodies, that they also pass through the neurine. It's like a medical thing. But actually, in actual fact, it's actually due to fear. That's, I was mentioned that it's actually, this phenomenon is not, I don't know, whatever the atheistic medical scientific community reckon it is, but according to the scriptures, Hare Krishna. According to the scriptures, due to fear at the time of death that these things come outside of the body, actually. And that alone. The point is here that one has to be sincere. We've never really come across any real great devotee of the Lord who has the habit of going around glorifying himself, is it? I don't remember ever reading anywhere in the scriptures where, you know, Narad Muni visits Yudhishthira. How you doing? You know, you must in Maya grasp the life. If you become like me, a great soul, and renounce it all. And no, these highly cultured, spiritually evolved individuals don't behave or speak to each other. They are slightly more cultured, to say the least. Like Lord Shiva, for example. Yeah. Personification of humility. In fact, he sets the standard, isn't it? Chanting the holy name and studying the Bhagavatam is the religion for Kali Yuga. And Lord Shiva is completely, he's not, well, oh, you know, although he's considered Param Vaishnava, but he's not like, oh, well, you know, I'm so great and I'm not going to. He associates with anybody, isn't it? Anybody. The ghosts and the ghouls and the demons, and he, you know, he's not proud, he don't care. You've got a Dwarashal Bankhead, could you close the door, please? Could you close the door if you're coming in, please? Yeah, thank you. See, he's a perfect example. Doesn't care who you are. No pride. No holier than you. All the old goblins, the everyone all welcome. And that's why they all like him, isn't it? Because he doesn't, you know, doesn't go around, well, I'm a Vaishnava, I don't hang out with ghosts. Doesn't matter to him. Gives shelter to everyone. That's why everyone likes him. So if you go to an Indian funeral, generally, they always have Lord Shiva there, isn't it? Always. Because they know, if I'm not pure enough to make it, then Lord Shiva's very kind. He gives shelter to everyone who's in all sorts of horrible situations. You know, why would a devotee who understands that Krishna is the Supreme Self and that by offering everything to the self, not the illusory self of this old bag of miserable old bones, but the real self, and is experiencing that reciprocation and happiness and realization and bliss and enlightenment. And of course, the more you realize Krishna, the more you realize how great he is, isn't it? You can't come to the end of something that's unlimited, can you really? So why would a soul who truly loves the Lord, why would he want to simply use his devotional service to go around aggrandizing his own artificial self? This is obviously going to detract from one realizing the absolute truth. The Absolute Supreme Self, Lord Sri Krishna. So therefore, if we truly want to understand who is Lord Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not just by intellectual means, but by genuine realization, then the point is that all these unfavorable tendencies, and that's what anattas really are, they're unfavorable tendencies, isn't it, in the consciousness that will manifest in our day-to-day activities. These unfavorable tendencies basically have to be removed. There is a whole process and a whole stage of our development, isn't it? Was it anatta, everything? They have to be removed. You know, unless we cross that line, that is kind of the, I don't know what word to use, really. But we have to come to that point, isn't it? We have to come to that point of crossing that line of understanding that Krishna is the absolute supreme truth, the supreme self, and everything. If I really want to act in my self-interest, then I must offer everything to Krishna. Until we cross that line, it's going to be very difficult. We might plateau and not in a vritti. We have to get rid of the unfavorable tendencies. And Lord Krishna is very kind, isn't he? He's there in the kingdom of Vrindavan. He's there in the kingdom of our hearts. And if you give him the chance, he'll destroy all these unwanted things, reveal himself more and more. We'll become more happy, self-realized. And of course, at the end of this life, hopefully, we can attain that supreme paramgati. And this is how it's done. And I've mentioned this many times, but it's so important. I was listening to Srila Prabhupada speak, Srila Prabhupada's lecture tape, and Prabhupada said that although there are 9 different processes of devotional service, in Kali Yuga, without even chanting, none of them will become effective. Unless we actually hear and chant. Because if consciousness, as we discussed, is developed by thinking, what you're thinking about is obviously going to develop your state of consciousness, isn't it? So if we want to become Krishna conscious, it's no good thinking about what's going to be on at the latest cinema or what's the latest, who's winning the Olympics, or these, you know. This Olympic, all material world is simply a collection of excuses just to forget what we've just discussed, basically. That's all it is, right? It looks like a different, the variety of life, isn't it? Variety is the mother of some, what is it? Variety is the mother of life or something, or the spice of life. But it's actually all a cheating variety. It's all an illusory variety. There's no variety. It's all the same. It's all the same taste, isn't it? It's all the same preparation in a different packet. That's all it is. It's just an illusionary variety. It's not the real variety. The real variety is in the spiritual world. Isn't it? Prabhupada said that the mundane, dry, mundane scholars, they write millions and millions of books and loads, so many things, isn't it? About the material world, every type of information you want to develop your excuse to forget God is there. Maya's sharp. She'll give you everything you need. But if you can write that much about the material world, then what could you write about the spiritual world? But there doesn't seem to be as many spiritual books as there is material books, so obviously there's a lot there to. But Srila Prabhupada has given us everything that we need. He's given us the key. And this evening and chanting again. Unless done, other services won't become effective. If you think about it, anyone can walk into the temple. Isn't anybody? Anybody can come here, Janmashtami, and do service. Anybody can do it. It's physical activity. You don't have to be a Paramhamsa to come and take part. But it's not. The question is our consciousness, our real spiritual life is developed in a steady progress. That's why we should hear and chant every day, isn't it? Read, listen. Discuss every day. Regularly, it means every day. Doesn't mean when we happen to feel like it or we've got a bit of time off. It's like whatever else we're doing in the material world. It's just like Srila Prabhupada, I think some time ago in class, it was mentioned of Srila Prabhupada's father, who although had a business and so many activities and so forth, he said his real business was doing the puja. That is the real business, doing the puja. Everything else is kind of more or less secondary. So it shouldn't be so for us if we want to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Whatever, you know, excuse we're caught up in to forget God in the material world. Whatever activities that's forced us to do. Whatever person that's forced us to become. Whatever situation that's forced us to be in can easily be overcome by Shravanam Kirtanam. Hare Krishna. So it's 25 past the minutes of 8 o'clock. I will now complete my insignificant realizations on these topics and ask the devotees if there is any questions or comments that anyone would like to offer.